child may be able to observe the watch and even understand some of the basic functions of a watch, but the young child does not have the same level of understanding and knowledge as the watchmaker themselves. Similarly, humans may be able to observe and understand some aspects of the world and of the universe, but we'll never have the same level of understanding and knowledge as God, the creator of it all. Humanity, though, has arrived at the place where they believe that we know better than God, and so some say humans created God themselves. Other humans may say that humanity chooses to believe in God or gods because we are unsophisticated or archaic in our thinking. Some would say religion is just simply a crutch, something to fall back on because you can't explain it away. There are some things that the Bible says about this topic, and so I want to look at them together with you all. And the first is this. I want to say to you this. Belief, not scientific evidence, but belief is not foolish. It's not a foolish act at all. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord. That's believe in the Lord. That's an act of belief. It's a engaged belief. It's like me taking a step forward is a trust that my foot is going to be there to catch my fall, right? I don't do it like cognizantly. I trust. And there are days where my foot doesn't show up, right? And that hurts. So some of you have experienced that recently in the ice storm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your paths straight. So verse reminds us not to rely on our own understanding or our own intelligence, but rather to trust in God's wisdom, God's intelligence, to submit to Him. And it emphasizes that human wisdom is limited and flawed. So belief isn't a foolish thing. In fact, it comes with true wisdom in trusting in God. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than all human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." So even the very least of God, the very hem of His garment kind of a thing, is better, stronger, more powerful than we could ever imagine. Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All wisdom and knowledge are hidden within God, not within human understanding or intellect. You see, inside of our minds is a limited, amount of cognition. You're building on the foundation of people from the past that we've learned from. We go to school in order to build a foundation so that we can then kind of launch from and build up. We're creating this building of human intellect that we can continue to grow off of. But if we had no history, if we were just starting from scratch and we came upon a transistor of sorts, or we came upon a computer and we didn't know how to power it, right? It would do us no good. I'm convinced if you took me right now, I wasn't a great student. Now, I passed well. I graduated high school with a high GPA, honors. But that wasn't because of my intellect educationally. It was because of my relationship with the teachers. Yeah. And so I'd make friends with the teachers. In fact, I poured concrete for most of my teachers in high school, right? In fact, one of my teachers worked for me and my dad doing concrete work in the summertime, right? So yeah, I kind of had a unique experience, right? And so I have like a bunch of theology knowledge. I have a bunch of random history. If you want to go to a pub on a trivia night, I'm decent, right? I'm okay. However, if you were to transport me back in time, if you were to take me back in time, I'm convinced I would leave no mark on humanity at all. It would change nothing. They would say this, what's it like in the future? And be like, oh, well, we all have telephones. What's a telephone? Oh, well, it's communication through the air. How does that happen? Satellites. What are satellites? Hunks of metal in space. How did those get there? Big rockets. What's a rocket? It's lots of dynamite in lots of dynamite all directed in one plate. Let's try it. I don't know. You have dynamite? I don't know. I would do nothing. They'd be like, what happens in, you know, who's the next president? I don't know. What president are we on? You know, it's a tough thing. I don't think I'd make much difference. And I think that a lot of us would probably fall into that category. If we really take away a lot of our technology, a lot of our ability, Google, if we didn't have Google, do you remember sitting and being like, oh, I wonder who sings this song, and not having any way to look it up? And you just keep guessing and talking, and it bothers you and bothers you until you go home and find a vinyl recording of it somewhere, right? It's totally different. Human wisdom is very limited, very limited. Psalm 94:11 says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. God knows our thoughts, and he knows that they're futile compared to his. It's important to remember that our understanding and our intelligence is limited and that we cannot fully comprehend the mind of God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. The Bible has a lot to say about human intellect and understanding, and one of the main themes in the Bible is this concept of wisdom, which is the ability to understand and apply knowledge and understand in a way that is pleasing to God. The Bible teaches that wisdom is not something that can be attained, not something that can be attained through human effort or endeavor or intelligence alone, but rather it's a gift from God. Proverbs 2:6 states, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This verse tells us that wisdom comes directly from God. It's not something we can attain on our own. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Reminding us that knowledge and understanding that we attain through our own efforts is considered foolish. In light of all of these above verses, we can see that the Bible teaches that human intellect and understanding are limited, and wisdom ultimately comes from God. The Bible encourages us to trust in God, to submit to him, rather than relying on our own understanding and intelligence. It absolutely encourages us to humbly acknowledge our state of limited intelligence and wisdom and rely on God's wisdom and understandings. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It shows us that fearing God and having knowledge of him is the foundation of this wisdom. It teaches us that there's this clear distinction between the wisdom of humanity and the wisdom of God. While the human wisdom is limited and flawed, God's wisdom is perfect and all-encompassing. And the Bible teaches us to trust in God and submit to him rather than relying on our own limited knowledge and understanding. So what do we do then when we have friends and family members who claim, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. What do we do? Do we try to, in our own cunning, in our own charm, in our own intelligence, do we try to win them over with an argument? How many of you have ever won somebody to Jesus with your own intellect or charm? Not many of us. At all, right? It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. It has to be a move of him. And the only thing that we can do, the best apologetic, the best defense for the faith that we have in Jesus, is to rely and rest on the wisdom of God. You see, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, I want you to go out and I want you to proclaim the gospel. I want you to heal people. I want you to do all of this stuff. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you words to speak. Think about that for a second. The Holy Spirit is going to actually put words in your mouth so that you can say the right thing. Have you ever had this moment in your mind where you're looking at somebody, you're sitting somewhere, maybe it's a public place, maybe it's not, whatever, but you see somebody, and you are impressed in your spirit to say something to them. And it may be simple. It may be simple, like, I really like that hat, right? The other day I was sending out text messages, which I try to do regularly, send out text messages when I'm thinking about somebody, when I'm praying for them, whatever, and I'll send out a text message or an email, or I'll call them. And the other day I was sending out a text message to my friend Tim, and Tim, I had no idea what was going on in his life, had no clue. I just felt compelled to tell the Lord, or to say to the Lord, yes, I'll send that. And so I sent him a text message and just said, I appreciate you. I want to let you know that you're a great friend and that I value what it is that you've brought into my life. And, you know, just a few nice things that were on my mind that I thought I should tell him. And he said, you have no idea the timing of this text. And I said, well, praise God. I have no idea what that meant, except for that it meant something to him. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And that happens with you. That happens with me. And when we stop it, when we shut it out, when we choose not to, then we're operating out of what? Our own head. We're saying, no, they don't want to hear that from me. They already know that. I don't need to say it. I don't have to articulate what it is that I'm feeling in my heart to tell them, right? And so there becomes this pride in our own mind, just this small amount of pride that says, no, I know better than God, right? How are people in this world going to know the love of Jesus? They're going to know the love of Jesus by our love one for another. They're going to know the love of Jesus because we love each other so much and we care about each other so much. It's not going to be based on our great words. It's not going to be based on how charming we are. It's not going to be based upon our arguments at all. It's going to be based upon our love for each other. And love is the antidote to pride. Love is the antidote to pride. If you're thinking, man, I am a prideful person, I need to get rid of this pride. It's not to defame yourself or to like degrade yourself or do self-deprecation, right? And say how bad you are. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is love people. Humble yourself before God and love people. Become a servant. Become a servant. But what do we do? Now, I want to read something to you. I'm going to read it. And I didn't write this, okay? I'm going to read it to you. And this is hopefully, you'll see the wisdom in this. So belief is not actually required to believe. Now, that sounds confusing and philosophical, right? But belief is not required to believe. That meaning, I don't have to believe in God to actually believe. In fact, if I say I don't believe in God, you're saying you believe in something. Because you're saying I believe there is no God. That means I have to put my belief in the fact that there is no God. That means I have to have faith that when I put this leg down, it's going to catch me, and that what is going to catch me is that there is no God. That's my belief. So it's a belief. Evolution, the Big Bang, creation of the world, all belief. Belief, 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 because none of us were there. Only God was there, and we have to trust in his wisdom, right? So humans demonstrate that they have a belief when they say they don't believe in God. They're stating that if there were a God, they believe that they are more intelligent than them in a variety of ways. One way is through the belief in atheism, the rejection of the belief in a higher power or God. This can be seen in statements such as, I don't need God to understand the world, or I can figure out the meaning of life on my own. Another way is through the belief in humanism, the idea that human beings are capable of solving their own problems and creating a better world without the need for a higher power. This can be seen in statements such as, We don't need God to solve our problems. We can do it ourselves. Or science and technology will lead us to a better future. Additionally, humans may demonstrate this belief through actions such as disregarding religious teachings or moral principles, or by turning to science and technology for answers instead of relying on God. Another common way is through moral relativism, the belief that there is no absolute moral truth and that there is a right, that what is right or wrong is determined by the individual or society. This can be seen in statements such as, there is no such thing as right or wrong. It's all relative, or I'll decide for myself what's right and wrong. Some people may demonstrate this belief by disregarding the concept of sin, the idea that human beings have obeyed God and are in need of salvation. This can be seen in statements such as, I don't believe in sin, or I don't need to be forgiven by God. Ultimately, humans demonstrate that they believe that they are more intelligent than God through rejection of belief in a higher power, the belief in human ability to solve their own problems, and disregarding religious teachings and moral principles, and moral relativism, and disregarding the concepts of sin. Does that not sound really pretty accurate? Pretty accurate. Pretty much a display of what it is that we're seeing today in this secular humanistic culture. Now, some of you might be like, oh, I drowned out after like first sentence, dude. Like, it was so boring and so textbooky. I want to say this. Nobody wrote that. I typed in to a OpenAI center and said, why is it that humans believe they are smarter than God? ? Hit enter, and that's the answer that it gave me. What do you think about that? It's fascinating. It sounds like a human. It sounds a lot like a human would say it. In fact, it sounded so much like a human said it, I had a conversation with this AI for a while. I continued to go through and I said, okay, so explain to me moral relativism and let's have a conversation about this. And then I said, okay, in the style of Jerry Seinfeld, tell me why the world is so ridiculous in thinking they're smarter than God. And it gave me a whole comedy routine from Jerry Seinfeld that I could listen. I could hear Jerry Seinfeld's voice saying it. I was like, this is interesting. So then I went on and said, do you believe in God? And it said, I am an artificial intelligent being. I can only say, I believe in nothing. I can only respond with what I have received input. And told me all of its information. So then I said, write a 6,000-word sermon on... And it said, I can't write a sermon because that requires humans knowing the audience and communicating to them in such a way that compels them to move their lives in a direction. But I can give you some pointers. And I took some of the verses it suggested and read them to you earlier. I mean, think about this for a second. Like, human intellect has grown to such a vast space that we can essentially... And, oh, by the way, you know how long it took that artificial intelligence to write that? 12 seconds for it to compile all of that and make it sound like it makes sense. Now, teenagers, do not use ChatGPT to write your research papers. Because it will do a way better job than you will, and your teachers will recognize that. So people demonstrate that they don't believe in God by saying, I can deal with my sin on my own. How about that? That's one of the things it says, that I don't believe in sin, but how about I don't believe that I can overcome this sin with anything other than my own just grit, right? Now I can put this aside. I can be done with it. I don't need to confess it to another person. I don't need to work through it with the Holy Spirit. When human arrogance reaches this full maturity, it leads to what? Death. All sin, when it reaches its full maturity, leads to death. And we see it. We see it throughout Scripture. What happens when the world comes together and speaking in one language says, let's build a foundation and a building all the way up to heaven? What happens? Catastrophe. Death of a language. Death of unity. Death, right? Spreading all out throughout the world. What happens when humanity says, I don't need God? We don't need God. We can act however we feel. Catastrophe happens. A flood. Wiping out of civilization. A restarting. And there's all of this talk right now about ancient civilizations and how great they were and how technologically advanced they were and how they're recognizing that the world was older, but that it came upon, there was this great cataclysmic event that took place that ended civilization as we knew it. And we lost the technology that we once had. And that happens. Catastrophe happens when humanity builds itself up onto some platform that's too shaky for us to stand on. And guys, we're nearing that, right? We're nearing that. We're building ourselves up to a place, and we're creating a generation after generation that is dumber and dumber when it comes to knowing things. Let me ask you, out of the people in this room, who knows how to use a sexton? One. And I knew you did. Anybody know what a sextant is? Yeah? Yeah? Navigation? How many of you in here learned how to read the stars? Anybody? I mean, no, I'm not talking for horoscopes. I'm talking for navigation, right? No. But did you know that was common practice? Did you know that was common practice? We've essentially lost that art in this generation, right? Okay, so now ask children, hey, can you do this long division problem on paper? Right? Maybe some, right? Now ask somebody who remembers who starred in The Rhinestone Cowboy, right? Yeah, some of you are like, what? Rhinestone Cowboy, right? It's a popular movie, really popular movie. And a song, right? I mean, you think about these things, it's like, how dependent are we upon technology, and has it become our lifeline, and has it become essentially our idol? We look to it and spend a ton of time on entertainment, a ton of time on things that are kind of dumbing us down. Now, it's fun for conversation and relatability, and that's all fun, but at some point, things are going to take over our kind of our need for humans to do it. Like, for example, a top 10 song was created completely by AI. Like a popular song was created completely by artificial intelligence, and it was so good that listeners loved it so much, and it rose on the charts, made it to top 10. That same AI system that I wrote in, somebody had asked this artificial intelligence to write the next $90 million blockbuster film, write the script for it. And it typed it, it had it written in about 20 minutes. And somebody else went to another AI program and said, make all of the photorealistic images of all of the characters in this thing. And it did it. So if you're already getting to a spot where artificial intelligence knows so well how much we like certain things and what flavors and what things we like and what how much time will it be before we just have automated entertainment that doesn't even require human creativity? What then will be the place for artists and artisans? Probably coffee shops alone with a guitar, right? Will become fairly popular because it'll be unique in character. The arrogance of humanity will lead to this catastrophe of some kind down the road, and we don't know what that is. And I'm not saying that for fear. I'm saying it in terms of this. Where are you placing your trust on this side of heaven when it comes to loving God and when it comes to loving people? Where are you placing your trust? Where are you placing your energy? Where are you placing your effort? Is it in other people? Is it in your own feeding of your own entertainment? Now listen, I'm not preaching this to you from me. I'm preaching this to us, right? This is to me just as much. I can just as easily fall into a rabbit trail of YouTube videos that leads me from talking about humanity, thinking they're smarter than God, to watching a coyote try to attack a cat, right? And I don't know how I got there. And why am I more interested in this coyote capturing the cat than I am about the intellect of humans versus God, right? It's frustrating. And we have to seriously consider this. Seriously consider this idea, this question. Do I think that I'm smarter than God? Do I think that I have somehow in my own mind articulated where my life is going to be, and that I've created the system and the mechanisms in place in order to get there? Or am I saying, oh, you know what? Forget all of the things that I have set out for. What does Jesus want me to do? What does the Holy Spirit want me to do? What is it that God has called me to? And how do I do it? And how do I do it effectively? And how do I do it lovingly and compassionately and kindly? Not to boast in myself, but to boast in Jesus and say, Jesus is using me as his instrument or vessel. If we're so busy staring at screens, if we're so busy looking at our lives through a tiny microscope, we're going to miss it. And the Holy Spirit's going to not be able to communicate clearly this message that he has for you, this hope, this dream, this passion, this ministry, this calling of loving each other and loving each other compassionately. Not in judgment, but taking the plank out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to see the speck of dust in your neighbor's eye and help them with it in love. See, it doesn't mean that we have to be devoid of truth. It means that we are never, ever minimizing truth or disregarding truth for pride or because I don't want to risk being offensive or I don't want to risk hurting people's feelings or any of those things. We never sacrifice truth and we never sacrifice love. We have to marry the two together. How do we speak the truth in love? For the sake of the person's soul and for the sake of your own soul. So that we don't just become this simulated world of artificial intelligence leading the way and entertaining us. How frustrating would it be to get online and think that you're talking to a human and realize that you haven't been speaking to a human at all? How frustrating would it be to get online and be like, that was one of the greatest videos I've ever seen, and how wonderful it was, only to realize nobody worked on it. It was all generated only by computer. Make you feel a little foolish. Maybe go, no, that's really actually quite interesting. But people will, it will become devastating. It'll become devastating. And it is devastating when we allow our pride and our own arrogance to determine the direction of our lives rather than listening to the wisdom and the intellect and the quiet, still voice of God. You see, he's not going to scream at you. He's not going to beat you over the head with a 2x4. He's not going to throw things at you. He's going to speak quietly. He's going to speak calmly. He's going to speak lovingly. He's going to say, what are you doing? He's going to say, come to me, you who are weary. I'll give you rest. Come to me. Lay down your burdens.
If you're going to pick anything up, pick up that cross and follow me. Follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to be flexible. It means to move the way that the Holy Spirit wants you to move. Not blown around by the wind, not tossed aside by the waves, but be moved by the light of Jesus at the front of your feet. He lights your path. He guides your steps. We listen to him. We follow him. Let's pray, and we're going to have the worship team come up, and we're going to do one last song here together. Jesus, it is foolish for us to imagine that we can comprehend your ways. Your ways are higher than our ways. You created the world out of your words. That makes no logical sense at all. But you spoke it into motion and it obeyed you. Your words are powerful. And Jesus, you set an example for us to follow, a physical example that we can look to and say, that's how we should live. We should live like Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah. We should live like him because he set this example for us. And that example that you set for us, Lord, was one that was humble, that was servant-oriented, that was loving, that did not hide from the truth, but spoke the truth in love, in compassion, that was bold, that was fearless, that was willing to sacrifice himself and die for all of humanity, to take on all of the sins of the world. What a beautiful example of your goodness and grace. And the fact that he took all of the sins of the world on his shoulders and he didn't do it alone. He had you. He leaned on you. He prayed. He sought you. God, I love this example that Jesus has given us and we know it. Many of us in this room know the example that Jesus has set for us. Lord, I pray that we would just follow it. Pray that we would obey it. God, we recognize our intellect is limited and yours is unlimited. So, Father, help us to tap into your knowledge, your wisdom, your spirit, your truth. Help us in this room to love each other as Christ loves the church, laying our lives down for our friends, ministering to each other, sharing each other's burdens. God, may you be glorified. May you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand.